Hi there. Welcome to the Intentional Living Center. I have a question. How would you define an emotional affair, an emotional adultery? What is that? I define it this way. It's whenever your primary emotional attention turns away from your spouse and is redirected to another person other than your spouse. That, to me, is the beginning, at least, of an emotional adulterous affair. We're going to talk about that today here at the Intentional Living Center.
From the Intentional Living Center in beautiful Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are toll-free and they're open, so call now, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you have an intentional marriage, here's Randy.
All right, let's go. We got 30 minutes. Emotional adultery, emotional affair, emotional maybe opposite-sex friendship that's just becoming problematic. Question, comment, share with us. 888-888-1717 is the number. Happens a lot. Happens everywhere. Churches, ministries, neighborhoods, Bible studies, choir lofts. It happens. It happens a lot. And in its simplest form, to me, it's whenever your primary emotional attention that should be, you know, focused on your spouse, there's where you should be sharing and gaining and receiving that kind of an emotional connection that God intended to occur between a man and a woman in marriage, turns away for whatever reason. Whatever reason. You may be married to a person that doesn't provide emotional support, whatever. We're still responsible for how we act, what we do. I mean, that's 100% our responsibility, so that's not an excuse. But whenever our primary emotional attention turns away from your spouse and is redirected to another person or theirs to another person, that is the beginning of what could be an emotional adultery. And, of course, that's the leading steps into the process of a full-blown affair, as we call it. And today, we want to nip it early in the bud. You got to get these things early. You got to make a decision. You know, I heard a great message over the weekend. Don and I visited a church here in town, and Kevin Love, Dr. Love, that's a great name for a pastor. Jeff Love, and Jeff was doing a message on a book he wrote. On the idea of painting as an example, pictures as an example of our life, called Life Palette. And he was talking about values and how that relates to values in a paint and so on. And the verse he used comes from the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 6 is one place you find him, where it says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then these other values will be added." And what's so easy for us to do is, instead of seeking God and his priorities for relationship and marriage and family and so on, and just him, we seek other things, and we try to fill those things with other things, and it blows up in our face. So the answer, of course, is to nip it in the bud, stay focused on the one thing that can make the biggest difference, and that's why we pass out so many of these one-thing wristbands and teach this whole concept of getting back to the primary one thing. And that's to keep your focus on Christ and his teaching for you. If this has been an issue, a challenge, maybe you've learned to deal with it. How have you dealt with this thing on emotional adultery? 888-888-1717.
We determined before we were married that we would never speak disrespectfully of each other to other people, and not just in not making fun of each other, but that we would never say anything to someone outside the marriage that would make our partner uncomfortable. And there's such a feeling of trust between us and confidence, and we can be open and we can be vulnerable. And it makes for a very safe feeling in a marriage, I think.
Just tell each other they love each other without having to say words, you know, just a pat on the back saying I love you, and just the being with each other when you could be together, and when you're apart, you know that common ground of love for each other is there.
All right. Debbie asked on Facebook, I am the one who's detached. I'm assuming emotionally detached. But how is it adultery? I'm not with, nor do I even think about someone else. I left, but he was hurting so much, I came back. He has been emotionally unattached for 35 years, and one day I just unplugged too. You know, I think that's the other thing, and what happens is we're created as emotional, passionate beings. God created us with passion and emotions, and we can be cold for a while, we can be numb for a while, but eventually when those feelings start to kindle once again, where do they turn? And so what we're focusing on here today is emotional adultery in terms of turning our affections away from our spouse to something, you know, and it can be, frankly, sometimes it could be just other things. Our affection becomes our work and so on. And in a form, we can find ourselves attached to other things, get our priorities out of whack. And it happens. Okay, Maria's on the line. Hi, Maria.
Hi.
Hi, appreciate your call. How do you relate to this?
I relate to this is that I went through the exact situation with the emotional adultery, and it happened about 4 months ago, and, you know, right now we're working through it, and we're at a good place now, but
good.
I listened to your radio today. It just brought me back to that day and what I went through.
Well, good. We're pleased that you're working through it, and it shows that God certainly capable of helping two people restore a relationship. But for those who are listening, can you go back to how it began that you would do differently? What did you learn that might warn somebody else?
What I learned differently, well, what I learned from this whole thing was, you know, if you are feeling emotionally, you know, unattached, or if you feel like you need some more security, you know, just talk about it. Go up to your spouse and say, hey, you know, I'm feeling insecure. Even though you're giving me everything you've got, you know, for some reason, I'm still missing something. And rather than turn away from the marriage through emotional emailing or whatever, you know, just talk to your partner. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't do that. And when I was caught with the email stuff, you know, it wasn't worth, you know, losing his heart, breaking his heart, and almost losing what I had worked so hard for. And it opened up my eyes to realize, you know, what's important.
Yeah. Not worth it, is it?
It was not worth it at all. And if I had to do it again, you know, I wouldn't do that because, you know, he is a really great person to just stay by my side. And, you know, and I'm able to show him every day that I am intentional in my own actions. And I still every day, you know, to this day, I work on myself first and I make sure that I give him what he needs. And, you know, I just want to be the best person. And it really opened up my eyes. And I'm a new person now today, but I'm just so grateful he was able to work with me and stay by my side.
Hey, were you feeling, as you were going through that process, was there some bondage you started to feel, kind of guilt and things? Was that part of the process you had to go through?
I felt guilty, and I couldn't forgive myself for a long time. It took a long time for me to forgive myself after I did it, so there was no way for me to move on. But once I finally asked, you know, the Lord to show me the way to forgive myself for what I had done, and it helped me work through it.
And it sounds like your husband's on board, too. The two of you are working to make this happen.
Yes.
Good for you. Good. Yeah, listen, ultimately, that's the freedom we can experience in Christ. God is a God of forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What I find so often is people, Christians, will get caught in these kinds of things, and they're not willing to confess. They become defensive. They take a position instead of saying, hey, in brokenness, I've blown it. I need counsel. I need help. And it sounds like you're working through this and God's doing something good in your life.
He is. And he has shown me that there's forgiveness. And if you're willing to work at it, you know, you gotta forgive yourself and make sure you throw all your emotions out there and get on your knees and just work at it every single day. And your radio also every day has shown me the way to live that way.
Glad you're listening. Stay intentional, Maria. We'll be praying for you, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great day, and God bless you on your new journey here.
My one thing challenge was to speak life into my marriage by giving my husband a word of praise or a word of encouragement every day. Before the challenge, we were having some communication breakdown, and we just weren't really on the same page. After the challenge, we're doing better. We have been able to put aside our selfishness and really put each other first before ourselves, and that has really made a difference. Even though it was tough, I did manage to get out the words of encouragement, and it made a huge difference. His reactions to me and his want to please me came so much more freely than me pushing him to try to understand.
Well, listen, congratulations. You're sharing the way God intends for it to work. Not perfectly. We're failed people, and we fail a lot. But God is a God of restoration and forgiveness. But it begins with brokenness and accepting responsibility. The first step in intentional living, if you read the five laws of intentional living, is taking 100% responsibility for your actions, for your things that you do. There's the beginning of healing. You know, when you get up in the morning, and if you're wrestling like I do with maybe eating too much and eating the wrong stuff, you can't blame the grocery store. You got to blame yourself. You put it in your mouth, right? So it comes down that way all the way across the board, taking responsibility. Okay, Diane is on the line next. Diane, welcome.
Hi, Dr. Randy Carlton.
Appreciate your call. How do you relate to this, Diane?
Well, I've been with my husband. We've known each other for 35 years, and we've been married 17 years. And this past November, I discovered that he was communicating with a married woman and having an emotional relationship that turned physical.
Hmm.
And at this time right now, still, you know, things have been turbulent, and I've been struggling with that. We are going to counseling, and while I was pursuing my career, actually, I was going to school to become a pharmacist, which he supported. I didn't realize that he got lonely, and he never communicated with me that he needed me. So once that was discovered, I immediately, you know, because I listen to the radio station all the time, and as a godly wife, I wanted to be there for him. So I stopped going to class, and I'm trying to work on a relationship right now, and we're seeing counseling, and it's been really rough. It's been very turbulent, and trying to read scripture and read scripture to him.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes he feels like the scriptures that I read, because whatever pops up on my application, it always leads to, having an affair. And I tell him, I don't choose these things. They just come up, and I just read them to you. And, you know, I'm trying to live intentionally and trying to hang into our relationship. And I pray every day, and every day it's a challenge. I don't know what's going to happen, but I pray to God all the time.
Well, Diane, this is it's a reminder, and you're not alone. And we'll be praying for you that whenever we don't maintain, and it's like a maintenance. If you don't maintain your car, and there's eventually a problem. If you don't maintain your home or your health, eventually it comes in and can bite you. And that can happen in marriage as well. It's a maintenance issue, maintaining it in a healthy way. I would just ask you to think about this as one perspective. You can't be your husband's Holy Spirit. You can't be his pastor. You can't be the one that says, let's sit down, we're going to read scripture now. This is a process he's going through. What's really important for that man to hear is that you love him, that you choose to forgive him, and you want your marriage to be restored. But out of confidence in your own life, we're going to have to go in a new direction. We've got to work through some new things to make this happen. And so as you go through this process, just make sure in all of the love you have for your marriage and wanting to restore your marriage, you don't come across to him like you're playing as his counselor or Holy Spirit. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, because it actually, he resents it sometimes, and I don't want him to resent it so much that he wants to, you know, draw away from God. I want him to go closer to God.
Right, but that's not your job. Your job is to, as his wife, to, with confidence, face the issues that are in front of you. There has to be rules and, you know, reasonable boundaries and so on. We can't have three people in a marriage. It just doesn't work. We're not wired that way. That's not the way God intended. And so it's a matter of saying we're going to work on the marriage together. I'd encourage you to get counseling for yourself through this process. But like you say, if he's resenting you because he thinks you're preaching at him too much, just back off and give him space. And we'll be praying that the two of you will see a great reconciliation in your marriage. And again, it comes back to taking 100% responsibility. What would be best for him would be to have accountability with some other men, some godly men who will come alongside of him and hold him accountable and challenge him. I have found whenever I or others that, you know, that I've witnessed over the years that get off track, whenever we as men start to make decisions independent of good, godly, balanced counsel, we tend to make stupid decisions. We don't see the whole picture. And so that would be a challenge. Again, you can't make it. You can't be that person. But I would encourage all men listening, if you find yourself in the kind of situation Diane's husband's in, this is a time to think about, hey, who do I have around me that's giving me the kind of counsel I need to be the man that God wants me to be in my marriage, my family, and in my life?
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. If you've given your heart to someone other than the one you're married to, we still want to talk. So call now, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Dr. Randy's got more help for those trapped in emotional adultery. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Anyone can visit Washington, D.C., but you can join Dr. Randy Carlson for something even bigger. The Intentional Living Center Washington, D.C. tour this October is so unique. Beyond the historian-guided tours and sites, beyond the brand-new 430,000-square-foot Bible Museum, you'll have the opportunity to join Dr. Randy and the tour group to pray for our nation and our nation's leaders. The Intentional Living Center Washington, D.C. tour is your chance to explore and discover our nation's true Christian heritage. But October will be here before you know it, so make plans now to join us October 10th through the 16th. Go to theintentionallife.com/Washington. That's theintentionallife.com/Washington.
Did you take time to water your marriage today to help it grow?
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, our intentional counselor and coach.
Doing one thing every day to nurture your marriage can make the difference between it slowly dying on the vine or growing healthy to produce that lasting fruit that we all want. Just as you do with a garden, be intentional to feed and nurture your marriage. You don't have to spend a lot of money to do it. Be creative. A few simple ideas, in fact, that you might want to consider are: never leave the house without kissing your spouse, or look for something you can sincerely compliment your spouse about today, or maybe daily saying I love you to your spouse in a unique way. And do this for the next 30 days and see what happens. Take the time to do one small something every day. And when you do, you nurture long-term health and growth for your marriage and for your life.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
I ran across a very unintentional quote by political commentator and comedian Will Rogers. If stupidity got us into this mess, then why can't it get us out? Unfortunately, if you did something stupid to get into a mess, you're going to need to be very intentional to clean it up. When you become a member of the Intentional Living Center, you'll receive resources that will help you to make wise choices by living an intentional life in Jesus Christ. So join today. You'll receive the Intentional Living New Member Kit as our thanks, which contains autographed copies of Dr. Randy's best-selling books, The Power of One Thing and Starved for Affection, as well as the One Thing wristband. And every month, you'll continue to receive Dr. Randy's teaching CDs. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717 and press number 4.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. So have you joined the Intentional One Thing Challenge yet? Janet did, and she's going to encourage her spouse every day. Ben will be spending 15 minutes every day in prayer, and Yanilda is going to start her day every day reading her Bible. So what's your one thing? When you figure it out, join us at theintentionallife.com and we'll pray for you. And then see what God can do in your life in the next 30 days. Again, that's theintentionallife.com. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. I was just thinking about this emotional affair and how this becomes a stepping stone, a gateway into full-blown, not only emotional, but physical affair with another person. I mean, it's usually a stepping stone process, a gateway, if you please. And we've got on our website here, intentionals, we call them. They're lists because many of us like to work from lists. We call them the intentionals, top 10 lists from Dr. Randy. This one's on love and respect and marriage. You start working on these 10, your marriage will turn. You can check them out. Come on over to theintentionallife.com. Is that on today's broadcast? Is it? Okay. Go to today's broadcast highlights there. Click on there and it'll take you to it. Just a thought. Also, we started 28 Days to a Closer Relationship with Christ. It's an online event, 28 Days Bible Study. Just a short 5-minute reading teaching, actually written by Stephen Davis from our team here, theologian Stephen. And just take you a few minutes, but it really gets you focused on your relationship with Christ. Over 1,600 people already signed up. You can come and sign up too at theintentionallife.com. Charles, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Carlson.
What are you facing? What's up?
Well, there is an issue that we have in marriage right now with the emotional adultery affair, whatever you want to call it. And it's, just a few months back, I found out that my wife has been having a relationship with a friend of hers of the opposite sex. But the emails they were sending each other were just more than just a hi, how are you, great day, stuff like that. So I confronted her about it, and she said that she had left those emails open intentionally so I can find out about it, because she found that she realized that she was in error.
Why is it you think she did that?
Well, she told me about it. I find out, and I confronted her.
But, I mean, why do you think she wanted you to find out? Why do you think she said, I'm going to leave these out so my husband finds them?
Because I told her, I've been going through emails, and I found that some of the emails are, they were open, and I read them. And because of the sender wasn't anybody that I knew about.
But do you think she left them open for you to see it because she was, in essence, saying, hey, wake up, I need some attention, I need you to step in
that
here?
That too, yes. But that's how I confronted her. And then we both sat down, and she made it right with God, and she repented about it. She apologized to me for having that relationship. But she found out that she was in the wrong. He was getting too close to the fire already. Mm-hmm. And but she didn't know how to approach me about it, say, hey, look, this is what's going on. And, I need help. I need to stop this. But she didn't know how to to go about it.
Have you learned anything about yourself through this or your marriage or your...
Brother, did I? And so what happened is this. I mean, we have learned to say yes. The reason why I had to accept my responsibility, where I've kind of neglected, a little bit. I was always at work. I had a very demanding job, so therefore I spend a lot of time at work. And there's my boss, whatever he says, yes, of course. And he comes to me because he knows that I will say yes, and he can count on the job getting done because I'm going to be there. He can count on me for everything. However, trying to go up the ladder, I'm sacrificing time with in my marriage. So yeah. I realized that, so I didn't blame it all you person, this, you, how you doing this, because I had to realize that why she did that. The issue that I'm having now, though, is that, for example, if I call her and she don't answer the phone, thoughts come to my mind. What's she doing?
Yeah, and that's no surprise. You get your finger caught in a car door. You get a little, skittish about the next time you open the car door. It's just human behavior. I mean, if every time I plug something in the wall, it works, after a while I just trust it. But if I plug it in about every fifth time it doesn't work, pretty soon I start to wonder if this is going to be what it is supposed to be. So this is part of the human consequence, frankly, of a broken trust relationship, and it takes time. For your wife, who's not the one who called, I would say to her, her job is to help rebuild trust by being accountable, by answering the phone, by knowing where she is for a while as you're trying to redevelop trust. For you is to continue to trust God, to pray for God's
healing in your life and realize this is going to be a process. Here's what I think. You guys have had a little blowout. It's like a tire that blows up. This is an opportunity to get with a counselor, with your pastor, talk about your marriage, about your priorities, about these issues, get them on the table, not to hide them, not to push them back underneath and say, well, that's nobody's, you know, his business right now or her business, and push them down. Get them out there and deal with them for the benefit of your marriage in a healthy, positive way. And that happens within the context of counseling, I think. Hang on, I'd like to send you my book, Starve for Affection. I think it'll help. It focuses on building, rebuilding, and strengthening your marriage. My gift to you. Hang on.
My name is Melissa. My one thing is to listen to my husband more without interrupting.
My name's Lance, and my one goal is to pray over my wife each morning.
My name is Danny, and my one thing is to be on the same page with my wife.
We have the same one thing.
My name is Amanda. I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and my one thing is to pray selflessly for my family and their marriages.
My name is Tasha, and my one thing is no more yelling.
My name is Isabel, and my one thing is living intentional with Christ.
There you go, real people telling us their one thing. And you're going to get a chance to do that as well as you join Dr. Kevin Lehman and me for a Hope for Your Home tour. Hope and help and some humor. Kevin is a psychologist, internationally known author, speaker, humorist, just a good guy. And he and I are going to be in conference in Glendale in the Phoenix area. And boy, the tickets are, we're going to sell out soon. So check that out, Glendale Nazarene Church. You can get your tickets at theintentionallife.com. By the way, looking down the fall, my wife Donna and I are part of a tour that we're leading here from the ministry to Washington, D.C. We're going to go to the Museum of the Bible. I just can't wait to see this huge facility that has just got one intention. That's to focus on God's Word. And then we're going to see all the tours, tour of the White House, Capitol. It's going to be a great week. And if you haven't checked that out, I encourage you to do so. Very, very special, unique tour, again, at our website. And then a very special thanks to each and every person. As a member, you are helping us keep the ministry going. Your financial support, and we know you give sacrificially. You may give $30 a month. We have some giving $50, some give $100 a month, but every gift matters. And I have to tell you, we're behind where we need to be. I looked at the report. We're behind the schedule on budget. And so faithfulness and your continued support is appreciated. And if you're not a member, come and join us. We really need your support, your added love gifts are important. You believe in this mission. You believe in what God's doing through it. Thank you for your support. Go to theintentionallife.com, and members, watch for the teaching each and every month coming your way on CD. Thank you for continuing to be a part of the mission. And all you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, and we'll see you again tomorrow from Intentional Living.